It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I refuse to give in to the weather right now. I absolutely 100% refuse to believe that it's not fall.
So you mean because it's a little warmer.
As such, I'm overdressed. I am overlayered, and I don't care who knows about it. I just am letting you know right now. And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano.
I wish everybody could see your shoes.
Oh, yeah, my Taft boots.
Love.
Taft boots.
Love.
Shameless plug for Taft boots.
Mm-hmm.
If you're unaware, please get yourself familiar with this.
Do they have women's?
I believe that they... No, I don't know. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
I just go right
to the men's section.
Excuse me while I go.
I have my plaid, my green plaid boots on today. And right now I'm in this, I am definitely in this mustard ochre vibe. Like I'm probably because fall is, it's almost like I'm trying to, with my wardrobe, I'm sort of trying to will it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm trying
to will fall to happen here in the Midwest, even though it's like 80 during the day.
I'm doing that with my nails.
Mm.
Like right now I have a dark purple on and kind of a, you know, moving into a little bit of fallish. And so later I have to get my nails done today. And so I'm going with like a burnt orange.
Yeah. And there's only one thing that
there's
only one thing that I've realized about me trying to will fall into
existence.
Mother Nature does not care.
Does not care about you.
She does not care.
But you know what? Right back at you. I'm going to wear the flannel. I'm going to sweat to death. Secret deodorant stock just went up, but I am going to wear my flannel.
I'm just going to say right now, I'm comfortable.
We have different weights of flannel and fall clothes too. Like we can wear our lighter weight fall looking.
Well, you know
clothes.
That I'm like the original boot and shacket guy. Like
yes, I
like
do.
Shackets.
Yes, you do.
You know, so I'll
but
wear
I
like,
do too. So
it's like, is he wearing two shirts? It's like, well. Technically, no, but maybe technically, yes. It's like it's a gray area for me. Anyway, good morning, everyone. I want to start out by saying, listen, the last show that we did about sharing your gifts about, you know, in what I believe to be a really interesting, we are living in one of the most, I don't know, I want to call it interesting, but I also, I mean, on one level, it's interesting. On another level, it's really frustrating. And everybody's feeling it in some way or another. Like right now, you know, you and I have been focused on a couple of AI conversations, which have, you know, over the past few months, especially in 2025. And that's not where the show is going today is AI, but it's like there's definitely going to be this, I don't know, there's absolutely this implication of how do we find in our day to day, you know, how do we find meaning in the work that we do? In the, you know, the ripple effects that our actions have that we may be completely aware or unaware of. And what does that really look like for people? And, you know, what is an acceptable level in your mind of, you know, when your actions have a detrimental effect, what does that collateral damage really look like? Do you care? You know, do you not care? Like, you know, and I'm not talking about sensitivity. I'm talking about like true communication, even about tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know, real communication where you try to come to some level of understanding of, you know, maybe what that looks like. And so.
And when you boil it right down, what are the consequences?
In all of this consternation and all of this context and in all of this maybe somewhat confusion and chaos that I think everybody's sort of kind of, again, trying to navigate in this time. I can't imagine a more important concept than the concept of home. I keep coming back to sort of, you know, these elemental things in my life that, you know, if you can create a constant out of them, they absolutely are the ways that you center and recharge and that you nourish. And,
right.
And you know, you can do that in lots of ways. I mean, you can do that externally. You know, you can absolutely have experiences that do that. But at some point, you know, we've been so overstimulated by all of that that it can actually just sort of become something more akin to a distraction, a good distraction, but it can still be a distraction. And the concept of home that I think I want to talk about on today's show is what are the elements of it? How has finally everything in our lives has an element of disposability which is actually leaving us feeling hollow.
Sure.
And it's having us, it's allowing us to feel incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And
connections are important.
Yeah, and connections, but also a sense of permanence.
Yeah.
A sense of connection, but also a sense of constant. You know, remember when we talked about on the last show, and I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to the show from a couple weeks ago. We were on a hiatus last week, but the week prior was about sharing your gifts, and maybe now more than ever, it's time to turn inward to try to find that gift and be able to find a really, really a way to cultivate it and share it with the world as an offering and a force for good. I think the world needs it now more than ever. But trying to find whatever that gift might be and really have people take that mission seriously, because again, in this disposable atmosphere that we find ourselves in, whether it's, you know, disposable relationships or, you know, disposable furniture for that matter, like everything in our lives can just be swiped and deleted.
Right.
In that sense, I feel like that's starting to erode some of the consciousness of like quality time, quality products, right?
Quality life.
Quality and a purpose.
Yeah.
And a real purpose. And, you know, it there is something about the collaborative process and building things together that, you know, when you're having a hard time maybe finding out maybe what that gift is, sometimes that the understanding of that gift comes from you just exposing yourself in enough collaborative environments for people to sort of see things in you that they appreciate in you that maybe you didn't even appreciate in yourself.
Right.
You know, that sense of like self-analysis is like a really, mm-hmm. Talk about a psychological echo chamber. All you're right. doing is either you're spiraling into like how I'm a complete mess up, right?
Right.
Or you're a hot mess and your mind spirals there. Or it spirals the other way, which is like, oh my God, I'm fantastic.
Right.
Like, look at how awesome I am. You know what I'm saying? And neither one of those is actually beneficial, right? Like, so... So
there's
finding
definitely
that,
a happy medium there that, but it's, you know, you go back to a little bit of the gratefulness and then a little bit, I don't know what the other word, like being grateful for what you have and noticing what you have and being aware.
If you can bother to take the time to appreciate it.
Right, right.
Yeah. In the race to do whatever it is that we've decided to do and whatever you believe that purpose is. I think that, you know, that's not really it's not my place to sort of judge the purpose, right? If you've got one and you feel like, you know, you're onto something, then, you know, as long as you're doing it and you're not harming yourself or others and I would like to think that whatever your gift is, it's contributing to the greater good. I think that's awesome.
Right.
You know, but if it's not, if it's taking down, if it's destroying, if it's dividing, if it's doing any of the things right now that feel so palpable.
To yourself or anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, to feel like, and then also to come through it and to say, okay, you know, where is the common ground? It's almost like no one's interested. Everyone is interested in a wall and not a bridge. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
In this instance, I want to lead with something that talks about the nature of the collaboration and the collaborative environment that we're trying to foster at the Design Coach, which is at the core of our concept of home. It's at the core of our concept of how do we create spaces that are more meaningful, that reinforce our passions, that do connect us, but that also create a sense of permanence and a constant in a very inconsistent world. That's really when I think about, you know, what I think my concept of home is, it's the ability to come home and center and to... feed the best parts of myself and to recover from the battle of, you know, the way the world works, mm-hmm. right? Especially right. the way the world is working right now.
Right.
And also just not sometimes even the battle, just sometimes the speed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just the speed.
You yeah. know? I mean, people say other countries or, you know, former generations or whatever are a lot more, you know, focused on life. Mm. Instead of work or, you know, or being busy or whatever. And you do need to stop and smell the roses.
Well, and it's interesting
to be said for that.
Yeah. And when we talk about the design coach and sort of the way that we've evolved, especially with the new immersive experience at the Vault that we're launching, when we say that all I've ever wanted, and this has always been the strength of the artist studio since my very beginning. And I don't care if that was my bedroom.
like in the beginning. In my bedroom, my parents' basement, like whatever it was in the beginning, it was an incubator. It was a laboratory. You know, I mean, you think about laboratories and you think about incubators and you think about, you know, safety, you know, warmth, security, a place to really sort of think and experiment, you know, with all of the tools that you need around you and all of the things you might, that really is a really good analogy for what I think the vault's going to be. And for those of you who don't know, go to thedesigncoach.com, check out, you know, the press release on the vault and what it's going to mean. It's going to be a place where people can come and incubate and experiment to try to recharge the creativity that leads to what I believe is a more beautiful, more fulfilling home.
Sure.
And I know that that's not everybody's version of home. A lot of people's version of home is wherever they lay their head.
Right.
You know, as long as I've got the following things around me, I'm good. Right. And I think there is a nomadic nature to the way that we've been living, especially recently. You know, past maybe like 30 years or so,
yeah,
where we're okay trading houses like Monopoly money, like Monopoly, and right. We're okay ripping things down and building them back up and ripping them down again. And, you know, we're okay just sort of living in sort of temporary versions of home.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like more as we move through a world that is only going to become faster, I feel like that's going to become even more important. Especially for things like connecting family and connecting legacy. And if your legacy is I've just been a million places and I've hopped to a million spots, then okay, great. That's it makes it hard to connect when you're always on the move.
Right, right.
It makes it hard to connect. Like there are liabilities to chasing those experiences at the rate that I think we are. Like there's that comes at a cost, not just a financial cost, but it comes at a cost where you sort of chase the next high of the next experience.
You never settle down.
Instead of the understanding that really a lot of the elemental things that life inherently provides for you are right there. And they're better than the experiences that you chase. You know, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about a definition that we've been using to kick off our projects, which is sort of at the core of not only beginning the journey home, but also helping define it for yourself, but also not having to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I am trying to will fall into existence with my
You house, definitely are. It's hot in
Off
here.
Off air, we were having a conversation about how hot it is here in the studio.
It and is.
I said it, you know.
It could be my age or it could be your
my
jacket.
My jacket. Which Julie says to me, like, that's a ridiculous outfit. It's too warm for that. You're making me, I'm sweating looking at you.
Right.
Right? Like I right. need you to.
Can I stop you for just a second before you go?
And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And I promise we're going to talk about this concept of home because I think it's really, really important right now.
Well, we really are, but it really is. But you.
Back to my boots.
Oh, yes. Back to the boots. By the way, I looked and I can't find any women's boots on there. So,
yeah. Well,
did you look too?
Yeah, sorry.
Lauren is in here and she could not find
yeah,
me either.
No.
I like the L on
you. I'm just into
men.
I'm just into men's boots these days.
So
it's kind of where I'm staying.
So I just wanted to, one of the things that you mention all the time is collaboration.
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes
and to be honest with you, not to cut you off, but to be honest with you, most people don't have any idea what it means.
Correct.
And even on the corporate level, it just becomes corporate speak, and it becomes just a buzzword that people throw around.
Right. 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 And it's
because they don't really want to surrender to it. They want it, but they don't really know what it means. And so
yeah,
they want to
pretend like they're collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to, on behalf of my crew, thank you for an actual collaboration that we did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I never had the opportunity to do that.
Oh, you're welcome. That was great.
Yes. So we all went to several of my staff and all of your staff, including Julie and everybody. We all went to Candle Mercantile here in town and you were on a mission. And I know that we're not talking about that mission probably yet. And so
you mean creating signature scents for the vault?
Yes.
Oh yeah. No, you can talk about
it. Okay. And
you can talk about the vault all you want.
But I wasn't sure if there was like a special introduction for this product or whatever. So,
will be.
So we all got to go and create candles, but you assigned us with themes and things like that. And then we went out and had lunch at Magpie's Den and Pen and had a good time with everybody. And, you know, there were like 13 or 14 of us. I don't even know how many people there were.
Yeah, right.
And we had such a good time. And to me, getting together, there, like you said, you assigned us kind of a mission, and we all really got it. We were all really into it. Like, okay, what is the really best representation of what he wants us to do that we can provide for him? Because you were trying to find signature scents for the vault to carry the candles. And so it just was a very fulfilling afternoon. It wasn't just team building, I guess is what I want to say. It was truly everybody having a great time coming up with something unique under the Design Coach umbrella for the Design Coach, for the vault. And But it wasn't just you. You included us. And you allowed us to participate and help you do that. And we are not, you know, we don't work for you. We don't, I mean, but we worked with you that day.
Those are really important types of moments where the collaboration is, on my part, the responsibility, and the only responsibility I have in that moment is to lay the foundation for it.
Yes.
In other words, not to control it.
No.
Not to. I mean, I did come up with some soft outcomes, like, hey, you know, from this, this would be some framework for the collaboration. But I didn't micromanage the types of scents. Mm-hmm. I assigned everyone sort of a nebulous sort of, I don't know. I mean, how would you describe that? I just sort of gave them like a phrase.
Yeah.
You know, like I knew, like, for instance, you know, Sarah. You know, procurement is a big football fan, so you know, her name of her candle was Sunday Kickoff,
right?
And whatever that entailed,
whether that was leather
or lemongrass, right.
Mine was vintage flea market finds or something to that effect, and so I went with kind of a leather flannel, like and I haven't even, like, mine just open. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the Candle Mercantile. I mean, everybody's been there. But
well, if you've ever been to a place where you can make candles, and you can use sort of the natural oils to sort of create it and do it. And these places exist in other cities. We have a very special one here.
Yes.
Locally in the Candle Mercantile. But if you haven't ever done it, it is really fun. It's actually really fun to do.
It really is. And but their stuff is so good that you don't even, like, I haven't even lit my candle yet.
We're like,
mine is just because it's in my bedroom and it's beautiful and it smells great.
We look like a European chapel now. We've got all these candles burning.
Well, if you burn them all at once, how can you discern the different scents?
Well, it's funny that you bring up the collaboration piece, because it's a perfect segue to the definition of something I wanted to mention to you guys. And I want you to just listen to the way I'm going to sort of describe this. There's a term that was used in 19th century France called a charrette. And a charrette, by its definition, is sort of it's an intense, an intensive collaborative design effort and planning session that involves taking in all of the aspects of what a project might entail, from an artistic sensibility, a functional sensibility, a community sensibility. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, it really is a really broad definition in its traditional sense, but it was first actually brought to my attention because we were sort of doing these charrettes already, these sort of collaborative sessions, and we were doing them on a much smaller scale, mostly led by me. And what we've discovered is that opening up these charrettes to not only now involve the client feedback and inspiration, and the team, is leading to some amazing outcomes. And some exploration opportunities in this collaborative space where you give very little direction other than, like, maybe a general style direction and maybe where the region where the home is being done. And you just go through an exploration, and what you do is it's almost like a mind meld. For lack of a better term, it's a creative mind meld. And I wanted to actually read you, and this was beautifully written. This is from Malia, who's our coordinator in charge of, like, interior architecture.
Sure. Right?
And who's got brought this actual term to our attention. I'm like, I love this. This is how we're going to kick off projects. And this is exactly what the experience is going to be at the vault. And it is exactly the way that I want people thinking about how to help them define their concept of home. Because it has to start with your version of it.
Right.
And let's just lay this down. If your version of it is, I'm going to move in 5 years, this is not the exercise for you.
Yeah.
I think we're looking for a sense of permanence and legacy building at the Design Coach, where our version of home is timeless, and we're hoping that you stay in it to connect for a very long period of time. Therefore, we're not a firm that has ever done staging. Like, we don't do staging for design. We also don't do temporary design.
That's not really what we do.
We don't do like, hey, it just has to be good enough. Like that kind of disposable level of design is not something that we do. But this is where this charrette conversation is going. And this is how she defined it, which I thought was great. And she defined it for us at the Design Coach. And I want to read it. A design charrette is a collaborative workshop, first named in 19th century Paris, when students worked together, sharing ideas and continuing to design, even as their projects were collected in carts, charrettes, for review. From its origin, the charrette has embodied the belief that design thrives on collaboration and, when approached together, opens up endless possibilities. That same creative energy inspires us at the Design Coach, where charrettes are one of the most exciting parts of our process. Gathering your feedback and inspirations to guide our team's collaboration, spark innovative ideas, and shape the vision for your space.
Ooh.
In other words, your version of home.
Right.
That is such the antithesis of what we talked about at what leads to this non-sharing of the gifts, which is what you brought to our attention. So with a louder volume, which is control.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many designers that want to have such a tight control over the vision instead of seeing themselves as a collaborative vessel, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to carry the aspirations, the passions of the client, and then try to connect them with materials, function, and style. You just understand the difference that I'm trying to describe here?
Yes.
One is you hire a pro to just do it, which we do that too, but we don't like to do it.
I was going
to
say, that's not as much fun.
Like, it's not, right? Well, and it's not as enriching for the team or the client as it is to be able to go in and say, give us your one spark of inspiration. And it was interesting. This client gave us the Park Hyatt in Beaver Creek, the bar.
Right.
And said, if I could have my home, this is the best example that I can give you. And it was only like five photos of literally the same space. And the team and I took that, and it is now a storyboard of regional influences of the Midwest to try to reinterpret Mountain Lake House. And what the team and I have been able to come up with is such a beautiful launch point, right?
Right.
For feedback from the client, already incorporating at least whatever limited information the client could give us. And sometimes the clients will speak to you not in terms of visual, they will speak to you in terms of things that are like feelings, like comfortable, inviting, welcoming, current. Maybe they'll throw a design style in there, but that doesn't really help you.
No.
You know?
Well, everything, you want everything to be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody
obviously.
Nobody comes at you and says, I want the worst room ever.
Who wants austere, uninviting, and brooding? Like,
right. Prison
like,
cell.
Well, brooding you might want, but
prison
I'm just saying
prison
like,
cell. Yeah, no, yeah, nobody like, says that.
Yeah. Low maintenance. That's
uncomfortable.
That's my favorite, low maintenance.
Plastic.
You know?
Yeah, no, nobody says that.
This is what I'm calling current penitentiary. It's totally maintenance free.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know,
and
you can wash it all down with a hose.
And there's a drain in the middle of the floor. Right. That's what I was going to say.
Drain in the middle of the floor.
So it's also convenient.
Yeah, don't laugh because a lot of people, that's how they think.
I have a husband.
That's out there.
So that's what he wanted in our bathroom,
by the
way.
But this charrette concept is something that happens. It doesn't just happen in the beginning of the project. It actually happens as you move through individual rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have smaller size charrettes and brainstorming sessions. I don't even like calling them brainstorming sessions because it's not like you're just throwing up junk against the wall. What you're trying to do is you're trying to fit puzzle pieces together to a puzzle that doesn't have a finished look to it.
Right.
And for anybody who knows our process, that is exactly what excites clients about our process and freaks some clients out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Because all everyone wants to do is race to the end. Race to the end and show me what it's going to look like. Well, can we go through the process of it together and then develop it together versus you being like, just show me what's in your head. It doesn't matter what's in my head. What's
first
in
of
my
all,
head is a million possibilities.
Red flag.
I got to figure out what's in your head.
Red flag.
Yes.
Nobody needs to know what's in your head.
Mm.
Right. So, but second of all.
That's the truth.
The one, just saying, caution. Second of all, the ones that don't, that want to rush right to the end, that you get to pay attention to the process first, aren't they the ones when you do kind of a reveal of the whole room are the most excited and surprised and love it the most? They wanted to jump right there till the end. You convinced them to go through your process, and then they are so much more happy and just love what they have so much more.
When I say to you that last week's show about when you put a group of people together that can just share their gift in the collaboration,
mm-hmm.
in other words, they don't have to own the collaboration, they can just share their gift, the outcome of that we practice every day at the Design Coach. We are every day exploring the individual gifts of the team. They're excited to know that they're in an environment, in a lab, in an incubator that can appreciate the idea, even if it's not a great one. Mm-hmm. But we still appreciate the offering and the gift. And we're finding ways to connect it. Even though we don't have a final vision, we're allowing it to be built and we're building it together. I'm going to tell you that if you want the most complete understanding of home, which we're going to get to the components of in the next two segments, you want that. You want that.
Mm-hmm.
You better start exploring the possibilities that are outside of your mind, the ones that you believe you need total control over. And you better start plugging into the gifts and the possibilities that collaboration can bring. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Zazzano. By the way, I was not a good boy this week.
Ooh, why? I like it when you're bad. What happened?
Julie probably by now has maybe received a couple of boxes.
Oops.
I bought more boots.
Oh, gosh.
I needed a boot upgrade. I just did.
Everybody does.
I just did.
I realized how many shoes I have. I got to tell you, when we moved, I have a lot of shoes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I do.
I'm just finding that I just feel more comfortable.
But
in why not? Ankle support.
Okay. So anyway, so it's a health condition. That's yeah, what
I'm,
you that, tell
I'm
her.
Gonna go with it. Honey, you know I'm not that stable. The boots.
Right.
Really help as I age. Okay, anyway. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about this concept of home and starting with this concept of the charrette and you know what that term means to the Design Coach, and basically to kind of catch everybody up to speed, this charrette is really the launch point for the fact that it's just bringing your gift to the table. And you bring that gift to the table, you figure out what your contribution might be, and you give a general direction. And Nancy was very interesting. The candle was actually a live charrette, actually.
Yeah.
The candle exercise was a live charrette.
And we were so grateful to be a part of that. And we really talked about afterwards, okay, we need to get, the other part of it was, get outside of the four walls that you're always stuck 100%, in to do it.
Yes.
And that's where we started having the conversations like, okay, we've got some holiday stuff we want to talk about. We just need to go, and I'm not talking about going to a bar and coming up with, you know, things after you're a little tipsy and, you know, crazy ideas. I'm talking about just getting into an atmosphere of fun and comfort mm-hmm. and just let it out. What can we do to put all of our ideas together?
Shouldn't that be what designing a home, especially a legacy project, especially the ones that we work on, that have really big dollar amounts and people yeah. work their entire lives to try to produce? Shouldn't it be fun?
Yeah.
And shouldn't it be collaborative? And on so many levels in our industry, it's really not. It's really not.
Right.
And sometimes the biggest problem is the client. They just don't want to collaborate.
Well then,
I don't really know how to design for you if you're not gonna come in and use your messy words to help us make it look beautiful.
But then why would you call somebody in?
Because you just want
if you're
done.
Not
no,
willing
no,
to.
Because the answer is they just want it done for them, and that's not what we do at the Design Coach. It, you know, if anything, yeah. you're going to realize that for any length of time listening to the show, design means more here. It means mm-hmm. more. It just means more on a molecular level. And if you're not into that, then we're not the firm for you.
I mean, I feel like
and I'm not the creative for you. But I will tell you that if you're into that, if in other words, if you've come to the altar of design broken, like a lot of our clients have, because the process has just disappointed them, wasted time, wasted energy, wasted effort. If it's broke, those clients are ready to surrender to this charrette kind of concept. And what they realize is they also realize that within that, we're not trying to shape it for them. We're trying to use our talents and skills to help them shape it for themselves.
I mean, I feel like
that's a very important distinction.
It's a very big deal.
Because
right.
because we actually are giving you control.
Right.
But we're giving you control with a curated level of possibilities that you are not going to stretch your brain to investigate or explore.
And you encourage people to trust their gut. If you really like this, we can make this work.
And also bake in the function that matters, because I can make anything look beautiful.
Right.
Bake in the function that matters to you. I want the, if it doesn't function, it doesn't matter how gorgeous it is.
Right.
It just doesn't matter.
No. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like a person. If there's no substance, it doesn't matter how good looking they are.
Right.
Okay. If there's no, if it's just vapid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we're trying to create, we're trying to create experiences, and we're trying to create environments that are equally equal parts style and substance. You know,
I feel like there's maybe there's a, people need to understand there's a huge difference between drawing and designing.
Yeah.
And if you just want it drawn out,
yeah, if you just want it kind of built, if you just kind of want it done for you, yeah, then that's not okay. Really, I just think the,
I mean,
I think
the internet,
I think
can do
the
that
process
for you.
Here's what that does. What that does is the process leaves too many possibilities off the table.
Right.
I'm not willing to do that with my design. And I'm not willing to do that with the relationships, because the relationships mean more to me than the project, which is why clients take these relationships and give us projects in other states, mm-hmm, because they know that the relationship will lead them to an outcome regardless of style of the home and regardless to a lot of things, right? They know we're going to listen.
Right.
Also, it's the possibility with multiple homes sometimes to explore a different creative direction in another part of the country that you couldn't maybe pull off in the Midwest, right, or it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
That's exciting as well. But this creative partner in this trust and foundation of the charrette is where I want to springboard segment three into, which is if you're not surrounding yourselves with people who can expand your understanding of what's possible, even within your aspiration or at least your small nugget, right, of mm-hmm your concept, mm-hmm, it is, I think it's inherent amongst the way that we approach design as a service. We preach creativity as an opportunity to serve, not just create.
Right.
Serve, meaning we want to create something with and for you, not just create for you.
Right.
And have you thumbs up it or thumbs down it. But we're really trying to dial in on that and really have that collaboration spark the relationship and the trust and the dialogue and the outcome. If you're doing it on your own, that's really difficult. The first thing that I would encourage people to do is if you're trying to build something big, first of all, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone.
Right.
You know, try to surround yourself with really good people. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, you can probably try this concept by yourself without hiring a designer. I mean, you could literally find a couple of friends right now.
Right.
Right. Who kind of know you, you know,
friends. But you have to have friends that are going to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, but hopefully you do. If you don't, that's a different show and that's a different problem.
Right. But I mean, okay, if you're going to surround yourself with people that are going to help you with this project, they have to, what do they bring to the table?
Yeah, but you've got to have the components of honesty and respect.
Right.
And you've got to have people who are willing to show you different visions. And then when you don't like them,
right,
we'll be able to make the case. And then even if they don't like it after you've made the case, you don't bruise. See, there's too many design professionals out there, and it's across the board from architects to builders to, you know, designers and decorators who just bruise. You don't like their idea, they bruise.
You know that minimalist.
And they're not
guy?
Getting, I got news for you. They're not getting emotionally tougher.
No.
sorry guys. We're trying to figure that out right now, how people just don't bruise when you just tell them you don't like an idea.
Right.
You know, like that's where that show two shows ago, Get Over Yourself. Mm. That's part of it. It wasn't just control, it was also don't bruise.
Yeah.
Understand that if you're doing it right, you're putting yourself in a room where people might have better skills and talents and ideas who can augment and improve your idea.
And that's what you would hope for.
That's what you hope for.
I mean, the most successful people surround themselves
with other
people,
successful people who know how to get it done.
And who are a lot of times way better at things than they are.
Well, so, and I think that's, yeah, if you, in other words, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
You're in the wrong room.
If you're the most creative person in the room, you're probably in the wrong room too.
Right.
And what we find is these clients get into these environments and don't want to ask for help. And there is a process at the vault that will play out where I think we're going to offer charrettes. I really do believe that. I believe we're going to offer concentrated periods of time where people bring their iPad or whatever it is, their devices, right? Mm-hmm. And they open it up and we talk about what it's like to collaborate and guide that discussion. But again, you can't do it alone.
Right.
And when we talk about this concept of home, it starts with the understanding of what is possible. And because sometimes people lack
just the general experience to understand how rooms are really transformed, both cosmetically and functionally, through design and decoration, because the disciplines on this show and in this studio are different. Mm-hmm. Design is different than decoration. That the layering process of decoration and how design lays the foundation for that is a very important discussion that most people are not having. What people are trying to do is transform spaces mostly through decorating because they can't afford to do design.
Right.
You can do both. It's just about how you proportion it, but you need coaching mm-hmm. in doing that. So this concept of home, when we talk about spaces that last, has to bake in the possibilities. Not just a style understanding, not just an aesthetic. And I think that's what troubles me about the most recent wave of design styles from modern farmhouse forward, and why I'm so excited about the return of traditional and vintage use of vintage pieces in design. What's leaving me thin, I would say emotionally and aesthetically, is that the spaces have very, very clean lines, and they have an aesthetic that, when it was first introduced, was appealing. Now it's starting to actually look hollow.
Yeah.
It's starting to look under-detailed.
Yeah.
It's starting to look unimaginative, and it's starting to look dated. You're already seeing, like, some of the mountain modern start to wear thin if it doesn't have an added layer of connection of collection to it.
Right, right, right.
And art. Mm-hmm. Which means that it's when it's being executed at a very high level, it still plays. But when it's being executed at like sort of like the middle market level, it's just it's thin.
Right.
And, you know,
and no amount of throw pillows and rugs and you know, that again, some of this disposable
decor. There's no amount of decoration that fixes bad
design.
Are going
to fix that, right.
It's like when I say millwork matters.
Yeah.
So in this charrette, I need you to include all of the things from a design and decorative perspective that you appreciate about the things that you've seen. See, this charrette concept and your concept of home, if you really want it to feel substantial, it has to have the substance piece, which to me is the design and the function, and then the decoration piece, which is the style and the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
The charrette merges that, but everybody tends to run more heavily towards decoration.
Path of least resistance.
Well, it's what they know.
Right.
Nancy, it's just what they know. Everybody knows decoration.
Right.
You know, you can say if you like a color of this or
okay, well,
that.
They think they do.
Well, they think they do, but they don't also know the level of resources that we do, mm-hmm. that we use. Our palette as a design team is much more expansive than theirs.
I mean, think
and
of
I don't
the
really care. I don't care how deep their Pinterest board is, and right. I don't really care how many Instagram feeds they've. I don't care. Their bench of or their palette is just not as broad as ours.
Well, it's just not possible.
Right.
So,
and it's where we live every day.
Right.
So what I think is really, really important in this discussion is when you merge your concept of home, you have to be designing in both design and decoration. I want to break those apart. Okay. I'm not going to focus too heavily on the decorative part because that's easy.
Yeah.
You know, the decorative part is style of sofa, fabrics, you know, layering, even artwork. Like a lot of that stuff is really important in the charrette conversation because it gives you the finishing details at the same time you're doing sort of like what materials matter to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is when you do one or the other, what happens with this charrette is that if you do it correctly, you build both build design elements into the decorative process, and that becomes what in essence is your mood board.
Right.
Okay. But if you don't go to the materials appreciation, and I'm going to outline that before we go to break, flooring, millwork, hardware, countertops, kitchen styles, plumbing, tile, and even lighting to a certain extent.
Sure.
Because that can have a signature. If you're not going to the build elements, merging them with the decoration, in other words, if you're not doing the exercise within your mood board or in our essence, what we're calling a charrette, if you're not doing the merge between design and decoration, you're missing half the equation.
Yeah.
In the next segment, we're going to talk about how do you blend the concept of home for a complete vision that you can own with everyone's help. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I have been reminded that it is segment four.
I just look so forward to the wrap-up, is the thing.
You're gonna get it.
Is the... because
listen, I like the arc of the show. I got to be honest. I think we set it up. I think we set it up well.
Yes. I understand. I don't know. And just maybe it's just I have an old soul about structures and history and design and homes and things like that. And and so I completely understand when you say, you know, these basic that, you know, the millwork and some of the things like that, that if those are bland, if those are just, you know, copycat, rubber stamped, and you think that you're going to upgrade or get over the challenge of it being boring and what was the word that you used?
Pedestrian,
industrial, like blah, you know, boring.
Done. It's already done.
Right. Like that's, you're not going to do that. You have to have those other things.
All of this, and listen, you're listening to segment number four here of the Design Coach, and we're talking about this wrap up of how do you start to define what I believe is the most important thing in these times, which is the concept of home. And again, I said earlier in the show, if your concept of home is disposable to you, meaning you're not going to live anywhere for more than 5 years and you're going to have a nomadic experience with your concept of it, then this isn't really the show for you.
Well, and we're talking about, because what we build,
we build legacy spaces, and for people who want to connect long term and want to have timeless interiors that people can come back to as a sense of permanence and legacy.
What's the minimalist guy that you?
Joshua Becker.
Joshua Becker. That's who you call for that. Because he only wants you to have like a chair and a coffee table and that's it. And you can take that and move it anywhere.
Yes.
If you're a nomad.
Yeah.
Liver.
It's like,
call him.
It's like fugitive design. Like if you're running from the law, you can just fit it in your hatchback
put it in the car.
Subaru.
Right.
And you can screech out of town and hide in the woods of the Northwest. Sorry.
But you're right. If you're going to stay there, you have to surround yourself.
Listen, I'm not saying that there's, you know, some minimalist tendencies that don't absolutely feel elegant and are nice. But if they're not layered and they're not interesting, they're just not that interesting.
And they're not. Driving.
Where we're at right now is we're after this concept of the charrette, which is this collaborative exercise that we do with the Design Coach that is actually rooted in French history, artistic history. And that charrette, or in essence a mood board, where mood boards go wrong is, and here's where I think they go wrong, where current mood boards go wrong is they don't explore enough options.
Well, right.
They believe, and listen, I am at odds with the design industry from this perspective. If you give clients too many options,
you'll never come to an agreement?
Well, like that's not what they're hiring you for.
Right.
You know, I believe they're hiring you to present as many options as it takes to shape the vision.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do I curate that? Yes, they do. They do defer to me in that space, but I don't think you can put a number on the amount of because it becomes transactional. Well, you're allowed 3 revisions for the fee that I charge you, and anything beyond 3 revisions is this. Well, then you're taking the wrong clients, right? You're taking on the wrong clients. Those clients, in my opinion, are not ready to hire a professional to help shape their vision. This gets to this point of, you know, because I know I can hear, I can almost hear what I'm going to call like frustrated face on the radio. Like I can hear some of you like in your mind where you're like making this face like, well, I don't want to give up control and I want to do it on my own. I just need a little bit of assistance. Well, then you're really not ready to sort of explore with true professionals the ability for you to explore all of the possibilities that there's no way you can come up with on your own because your gifts are X. And sometimes your gift as a client is just to express your lifestyle aspirations, your limited style preferences, and the fact that you're funding the project and that you can do that.
Right.
And then hire great people to listen to you and then really expose you to the possibilities and multiple possibilities and to help shape the vision. And we don't do enough of that up front. I'm going to tell you right now, what we're not doing up front enough, I think designers try to do it in the selection process. They should not be doing that. You've got to come up with some sort of overall agreed vision. And the minute we started doing this on a macro scale and spent a significant amount of time, and I mean 3 to 4 weeks in just envisioning the direction, it has made the selection process so much more fun, so much more enjoyable, because what you're doing is you're benchmarking then the inevitable distraction of the marketplace.
Right.
You are controlling the inevitable distraction of squirrel. Right? I like that.
Right.
Okay, yeah, we know you like that, but that's not in line with the vision.
Right.
You can still like it and it doesn't fit. Okay? Or you can like it, but maybe it fits somewhere else in the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another room, maybe another home, maybe something else. You can have an appreciation for it, but does it fit? What the vision does and what the ultimate outcome of the charrette is to keep us creatively aligned. And then you can begin to explore the more granular, smaller paths that veer off of the main road. It makes the exploration so much more fun because it already has a foundation.
It's You're the not journey.
Just, it's the yeah, but it's the difference between wandering aimlessly on a journey,
right,
or wandering through with some level, right, of foundational understanding and appreciation.
True.
Okay. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to wander aimlessly, and it's another thing to at least have a map.
Yeah. That okay? you can get back to.
That you
when
can
you
get
wander
back
aimlessly
to, like,
does, for a minute.
In other words, right. does this tangent, because I love tangents in design. I love when a client will throw a little curveball in there. Like, I love that. It makes it really personal. But what happens is it always comes back to the definition and how they envision home. We're not doing enough collaboration. And what I see it where it's the most sticky is between husband and wife or partners.
Nuh-uh.
You haven't had enough conversations about it.
Right.
And then when you come to the table, and I know that you haven't really talked about it other than like budget and money, which is not a great, I mean, that's the least creative place to start.
Right.
Right. Because we haven't had the value discussion. We haven't had a conversation about what you value. You know, maybe you don't value certain materials, so then we can adjust that in the budget. Maybe you don't value furniture the same way as you value artwork, and we can have a conversation about that. Nothing's built in a financial vacuum. I get that.
Right.
But it can't start there. And what I find is they're trying to collaborate in a way that just puts them at a disadvantage if they haven't had enough discussions. The honest approach to this is, we haven't had enough discussions, or we've had discussions and we're not aligned. What I find more times than not is they want to be aligned. They want to find, but they're having trouble creatively finding the connection points because they don't understand the possibilities of how maybe their vision fits, and more importantly, how their visions fit together into one vision. You know, we're experts as a design coach. I'm going to say it right now. We are
marriage counseling.
Yes, creatively. Creatively. No, creatively.
Sure.
Taking these visions, the his wants, her wants, his wants, his wants, her wants, her wants, whatever it is, and saying, great. Because usually what happens is someone's coming at it from a head perspective and someone's coming at it from a heart perspective.
100%.
That's typically the way, that's usually the calculus. Somebody owns the majority of the head. What's it going to cost? When's it going to be done? Blah, 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 right? And, which I make that voice for the head guy or person.
Right.
And then there's someone who's just off in la la land about style and whatever, and just loving everything. And then you got to try to marry those two.
Right.
You got to try to mesh those two. Well, it starts in the process of defining design and decoration. It starts with melding that, but it starts with having a platform, an incubator, a lab, like I keep talking about, for you to sit down in a safe space. And this is what I loved about our previous studio at Starline, and what I'm going to love even more about the new vault experience is it's the ultimate incubator. I put your phone away, come sit with us, and share with us what you believe to be your version of home with as many descriptors as you possibly can.
How many times do you hear from someone when you put them in this situation, oh, I can do that?
I hear that, but I also dispel a lot of myths. I mean, I use this story a lot. I had a gentleman come in with his wife, and they were talking about remodeling a lake home. And I started to start with likes and dislikes. I was just like, you know, are there any colors we should avoid? Are there any things that you don't?
Simple stuff.
You know, things that you don't really like. Just tell me your dislikes. Sometimes that's an easier place to start, right? Like, what are your dislikes? Because people tend to lot of things. They tend to be very clear on what they do not like.
Sure.
So sometimes I'll start there when I'm starting this discussion. And he said, well, I don't like red. I'm like, at all? Like, no, can't stand red.
Hmm.
And I'm like, that's interesting. He goes, why? I'm like, well, you got red in your tie and you have red in your socks. I saw you when you walked in. And so it's not, is it red or is it the percentage of red? Right? In other words, is it the balance of red?
Right.
You know, clearly, I don't expect you to walk in here with a Matador suit on, okay? And like that. I understand that, but, like, it's in your tie, and it's in your... And he goes, oh, it is. And then, of course, you can imagine his wife's smile at that moment where, you know, she's probably telling him that he's been wearing red for a while and it looks great on him or whatever the reason is, right?
Right.
But what you do is, in this space, what you're asking me is, does it give them confidence? It gives them unbelievable confidence and excitement. But the other thing that it does is it destroys their myths. It melts away a lot of their preconceived notions of what they're able to pull off and what they're able to enjoy. And what I find is that if you do the charrette correctly, if you do the collaboration correctly, it melts all of that. Because it's in a safe space that's really fun, that's really inspirational, but you've got to be open to the introduction of other people's gifts and offerings. And if you know anything about interior design, my outcomes are they are 100% this amalgam and combination of all of these other artists' visions, furniture designers, fabric designers, colorists, artists. Like, do you understand how many other creatives I rely on to come up with my creation and the client's vision?
Right.
Or our creation?
Yeah.
You are already relying on them. Even in the catalogs, you're already relying on them. All I'm asking for on today's show is to define your concept of home, expand your network, and be open to the gifts that this amazing world of interior design, okay, and artisans can bring to your project. Find a charrette. Find an opportunity. Find an environment. Okay? It'll pay off. Anyway, thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.